It's Friday.
Gather around.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out. Step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Oh, a microphone.
And a phony at the mic.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's Live and Local now for a Friday as we celebrate. Yes, we are even in the midst of extended stay-at-home orders. We are still celebrating the best day of the week. Here we go.
Oh, man, what day is it? It's Friday.
Friday.
Oh, yeah. It's Friday.
Friday.
It's Friday.
Friday.
What day is it?
It's Friday.
Oh, you know better. It is Friday. Oh, I love it. Love it. This is the day we celebrate, and even in the midst of a extended stay-at-home order, we still celebrate the best day of the week. What is going to happen? It's just amazing what's going on out there. We'll get to the governor and his news conference yesterday. We'll have highlights throughout the morning from it. And the news is some good, some bad. Some we just don't know. Andy Puzder is the former CEO of CKE Restaurants, the author of The Capitalist Comeback, The Trump Boom, and The Left's Plot to Stop It. And he joins us. A lot of states, Andy, are kind of dipping their toe in the water and going with reopening. What do you make of all of this? And do you fear that we might be headed to more peaks?
No, I don't. I live in Tennessee, and we've got 96 counties here. And the governor, at the beginning of this week, opened up 89 of those counties. The six that aren't fully open are the metropolitan areas, counties like where Nashville and Memphis are, which he's going to work with those county officials to get those counties open over time. But the rest of the state's open. I got a call yesterday from my dentist. I need to get some dental surgery, some oral surgery done, and he's scheduling that for later this month. So we're getting back. We're kind of getting back to work here. You know, things are coming around. I think people that are older and have underlying health problems should still stay quarantined. Should still be protective and follow whatever protective measures there are. People should still socially distance. But I think it's time for us to get back out there, get the economy going, to get life at least starting to return back to normal. May not return completely normal till we have a therapeutic or an effective vaccine, but it's time to start. I think people are ready to get out there. I think you hear protests across the country where people are indicating that that's their feeling.
Well, it was amazing last Friday. In fact, a week ago today, there was a major rally here. Thousands of people turned out, and they drove three abreast down Las Vegas Boulevard, down the Las Vegas Strip. People here are ready to get out, and they will. They've relieved at least some of the pressure relative to golf courses and things like that, but there's still a long way to go. How long do you give us to still be in stay-at-home orders around the country? I mean, those states that have not already gone that way?
Well, it depends upon the state. You know, for Wyoming and Montana, they should open up tomorrow. However, New York City, for example, or Detroit, there it's going to take a longer time for them to get to the point where they can get things returning to normal. I'd love to see things return to normal in Las Vegas. I I have a real affinity for Vegas. I used to represent the Dunes Hotel as a young lawyer back in the early 80s and was licensed to practice law in Nevada. I lived there for a period of time. And I know that those casinos and restaurants that generate the bulk of the employment in that part of the country can't stay shut for an extended period of time without doing severe damage to people. There was an article in the Johns Hopkins University medical school journal by their coronavirus recovery task force, and it had a sentence in it that really rang true to me. It said that the virus is lethal, but so is poverty, and we need to be careful not to drive this country into a state of poverty that could be worse than the impact of this virus.
Again, Andy Puzder joining us. Andy, is the decision to open up, is it a federal decision? Is it a state decision? Or, as we're seeing here in Nevada, is it a local decision, a county, a city decision?
I think it will be more effective the more local we can get it. Now, I think under these circumstances that the federal government could seize authority, but President Trump has indicated he's not going to do that. He's been very respectful of our federal system throughout this process. He's turned the bulk of authority over to the governors with guidance from the federal government, with guidance from CDC. But it should be on a local level, much like we did in Tennessee, where you can open the majority of the counties, which are rural, but you've got to be a little more careful with the urban areas where there's a greater risk of contamination. I think that clearly is the way to handle this. And I'm very happy the president has respected our federal system throughout this process.
Let me ask you, one of the keys for me is public confidence, that if they go outside, if they go to the store, if they go to a big box store, are they going to get sick? Are they going to die? How do we convince the public that the coronavirus, while it is deadly for some people, most of the people, a vast majority of the people, will have the flu and then they'll be fine?
I think that the data is increasingly coming out validifying what you just said, which is that for the vast majority of people, this is a flu-like virus. It is very deadly for some people, and those people should be very careful to stay inside and stay away from general group contact. But for most people, the risks of going out are not as extensive as we originally thought they might have been. So hopefully we'll get the word out. I think until we get, as far as the economy improving, I think getting those people out, we'll see things improve. We've got to get America back to work. Actually, I had a book come out. It's now available on Amazon called Getting America Back to Work. It's a pamphlet, so it's short about the policies we should implement to do that. But I think once we start getting people out there and getting people back to work, we're going to see an economic improvement. It's just going to take until we get an effective therapeutic or a vaccine. Again, that's what it's going to require to get the economy back to where it was prior to the pandemic. But we certainly can see improvement from where we are, and we need to see it before we have really devastating impacts for American families.
I'm guessing you're a Tennessee Titans fan, and a lot of people wondering, when are we going to get back with sports? Do you have a feel for the NFL? Major League Baseball's chomping at the bit. They want to get back to work, maybe in Arizona, maybe in Florida, maybe in both. Do you have a sense of when we'll be able to get back to professional sports, even in empty arenas and stadiums?
Yeah, or arenas and stadiums where you've got seats, where you've got social distancing, where you don't sell all seats, maybe you sell half the seats or a third of the seats, and then you televise the games or they're on radio so that the teams at least can generate enough money that they're not actually losing by being open. I think that can happen soon. As you probably heard, NASCAR has announced it's going to go forward with its season. I think that's the initial sporting event, it kind of leading the charge to get things back to normal. I know the players in the NBA and the baseball players would love to get back out there, football obviously in the fall. Hopefully it will be soon. I don't have a sense for it, but I think the fact that NASCAR came out and announced it was going to begin its season is very encouraging.
Well, we've got a billion-dollar stadium that's going to be ready for occupancy on July 31st, and a lot of people don't know if the Las Vegas Raiders are going to be able to play. Will they have to play in an empty stadium? Can we turn sports into studio sports? Can we do that? And is there a business model that would allow them to do that for one season?
Well, I think you get with basketball in particular, there's a lot of television coverage. You know, this is not to make this too simple, but the ball is very big, so you can see it on television. You've got a lot of activity. You've got a lot of energy. I think you probably could do a lot of television with that. My good friend Bill Foley, who owns the hockey team there in Las Vegas, he might have a little tougher time with hockey. Hockey's a little tougher to follow on television. It doesn't have as broad a television watching base. That might change, though, if people can't go to the hockey games. I know they're very popular there, and it's a great team. They had an incredible first season. Maybe even for hockey, you could see enough people watching to get the season going. It's hard to predict.
What about the airline industry? I've always thought, in fact, somebody once came up with a statistic that the dirtiest place in America are those drop-down tables on airplanes. And I guess my question is, will people feel confident enough to travel, and how do we convince them?
Well, I think the airlines could do a lot in that respect, with respect to cleaning the seats, disinfecting the seats after every flight. I've actually been approached by a couple of entrepreneurs who have now come up with systems that you can use after a sporting event or before a sporting event or in a plane or in your home, where you can rapidly disinfect the entire area. I think that's something the airlines could do. You know, airline travel itself isn't all, I've been told, isn't all that dangerous, that the air filtration system actually is very good on the planes and would cut against this virus spreading. The problem, I think, with people traveling is more a fear of being in the airports where you don't have that kind of air filtration system. And at least, just a few months ago, you were in close contact with other individuals. I think that once we can resolve that problem, maybe do some social distancing in the airports and come up with ways that airlines can quickly sanitize planes between flights, I think you could see people feeling more confident about flying, and I certainly hope that happens quickly.
It's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out. Andy, we're going to be checking back with you because I love talking with folks from my old stomping ground there in Nashville, Tennessee. Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. And if folks want to pick up your book, in particular the new pamphlet, where do they go? Where do they find it?
That would be on Amazon. I'd certainly appreciate anybody reading the pamphlet. It really talks about the policies we need to pursue economically to come out of this crisis, and the fears that we're going to see progressives try and again take advantage of a crisis and implement big government policies that essentially take advantage of all of us. We need to avoid that. But it's on Amazon. It's called Getting America Back to Work. If you put in Puzder, P-U-Z-D-E-R, you can get it quickly. And I hope everybody will take a look. And I want to thank you for having me on, Kevin. Great show.
Hey, always, always good to visit with you. Andy, thanks so much, man. Andy Puzder, the former CEO of CKE Restaurants, the author of The Capitalist Comeback, The Trump Boom, and The Left's Plot to Stop It. And, man, there's so much to talk about. One of the things we're going to get to coming up in our next segment, you will hear from the governor himself, Steve Sisolak, and his statement yesterday. How free are we going to be over the course of the next couple of weeks? We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up live and local now.
Hi, this is Diamond and Silk. If you can see mountains in Nevada, listen to Kevin Wall on the Nevada Talk Network.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. Are you in need of a healthcare program? Well, you're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year with memberships starting as early as the following month. And there are no contracts or commitments. Programs start as low as $199 per month, and there's no network. So you can choose your own doctors and hospitals. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry, not insurance. So your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing that you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor. As the owner of Las Vegas Cycry and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors, and I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cycry has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid bikes, mountain bikes, and road bikes. We also have a wide variety of the latest electric bikes, which affords the opportunity for those who want to ride a bike again but have some physical limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. And for those of you interested in a guided biking or hiking outdoor tour, visit EscapeAdventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. That's 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215.
America's founders knew power corrupts, and ultimate power corrupts ultimately, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's why they built in checks and balances to prevent any one group from seizing all power.
And that's why our president is elected by a college of electors, to protect the rights of little states like Delaware and Wyoming against giants like New York and California. After all, our country is a republic, the United States of America, not the United State. Our states are independent, sovereign power who created the federal government, not the other way around.
And that's why all power ultimately lies in we the people and the states, not a central dictatorship of cronies. Did you know that? Thank God for the U.S. Constitution.
Find out more how our amazing Constitution and Bill of Rights protect us, the citizens, against power-craved politicians in Washington. Help us take back America. Go to OurAmericanRights.com. Brought to you by the American Media Council.
For years now, you've heard me talking about Real Water. Hey, Kevin Wall here. I just can't get over the clean, smooth taste and how great it makes me feel. I won't drink anything else. But there's more than just great taste to Real Water. There's real science behind why it's so good. It's infused with negative ions, which basically means it has a bunch of extra electrons. You see, those negative ions help you hydrate on a cellular level and provide a powerful antioxidant effect. I told my friends Brent and Amy, the owners of Real Water, that I wanted to offer my listeners a special on Real Water, and they agreed. So here's the deal. Go to Amazon and search Real Water. It's the blue rectangular bottle that says Real Water. Add it to your cart, and when you proceed to checkout, there'll be a coupon section. Put in 10WALL. That's the number 10WALL, all caps, no spaces, and you'll receive a 10% discount. It doesn't get much better than that. Great tasting Real Water with all its beneficial properties delivered right to your door. I know you'll love it. Trust me, you will taste and feel this difference.
Let us know what's on your mind. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/NevadaTalkNet, or visit our website, nvtalk.com.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Don't forget, this hour of Live and Local Now brought to you by Liberty HealthShare, offering an affordable health care option that allows you to enroll any time of the year. Just $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and $529 for a family. That's mom and dad and all the kids. Just call 855-58-LIBERTY, 855-58-LIBERTY, or visit libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. LibertyHealthShare.org/Kevin Wall. I want you to hear from the governor. The governor last night introduced a new acronym, LEAP, L-E-A-P, and here's how he introduced it.
Under this state-managed, locally executed roadmap, the state will continue to issue statewide standards and restrictions for each phase under which individuals and businesses must operate that are based on the social distancing requirements necessary to ensure that Nevada's public health care system is able to respond to any surge from COVID-19. Only now, in an effort for Nevada to start returning to the normal structure of government decision-making, the County Commission will have an increasing responsibility for determining the manner in which businesses within its jurisdiction can open and operate in. The main requirement is that county guidance and restrictions must meet or exceed the standards set forth by the state in this new directive. I will be issuing prior to entering into phase one. would be a disservice to the residents and businesses in our state to pretend like Esmeralda County is the same as Nye County, or that Clark is the same as Elko. They're not, and that's okay. That's why our response effort should reflect our regional differences while still operating under our shared statewide goal of keeping Nevadans safe and restarting our economy. And in order to ensure a strong state and local government partnership through each phase, I'm happy to announce the formation of the Local Empowerment Advisory Panel, or LEAP, a group of Nevada stakeholders who will serve as a resource for counties as they work through the necessary requirements to reopen and share best practices and guidelines for local communities. The LEAP will also be working directly with my office to inform all future directives governing business and public life throughout each phase of this roadmap to recovery. I am pleased to have Clark County Commission Chairwoman Marilyn Kirkpatrick represent the urban counties, Eureka County Commission Chair J.J. Gokachia represent our rural counties. They will be joined by representatives from the Nevada Association of Counties, better known as NACO, and the Governor's Office of Economic Development, in addition to the Director of Nevada Department of Business Industry. The LEAP will consult with business and industry representatives, work and labor organizations, public health authorities, the Nevada Hospital Association, local government representatives, state legislators, and other stakeholders as needed to help the state and our counties navigate each of the reopening phases. It's through your leadership that we will make sure that the state is managed, state-managed and locally executed roadmap is customated for every corner of Nevada, but the whole of our state remains united and healthy. I come from the counties. I am the only governor in the United States who most recently served as a county commissioner before becoming governor. I get it. I know where you're at. I uniquely understand that counties know how to get the work done. They've known what is best for their residents and what their business and residents need and how they operate. I have not and will not forget that. And now as your governor, I maintain the responsibility for the health and safety of all Nevadans. And I know that it will hurt all Nevadans if any of our 17 counties are unsafe. That's why I will require all counties to submit certain criteria reports and data tracking to the LEAP and state so that we can monitor the progress through all the phases of reopening. And if we need to pause and spend some extra time and attention taking care of one of our counties, we will do just that. And we will do it together.
Okay, so as a new acronym, the Local Empowerment Advisory Panel, or LEAP. You'll hear a lot about it. Stick around, more to do as we continue. Live and local now.
Where Nevada comes to talk, making radio great again.
There is good news. We will recover. We will thrive if we act now. I'm Sam Peters, and I'm running to be your congressman in Nevada's District 4. I'm not a professional politician. I'm a 20-year military veteran and a successful business owner. I know how to balance a budget, secure a border, and help President Trump revive our economy. Nevada, we need a congressman who will work for you. I can help. Join SamPetersForCongress.com. Remember, Sam Peters, the number 4, Congress.com. I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Sam Peters.
It's a tough time, but we will get through this together. If you have the means, we encourage you to participate in the gift card challenge. That's a simple thing you can do to help people around you. Just buy a gift card from one of your favorite local businesses, then use it when things get back to normal. Or be a rock star and give it to someone working on the front lines to keep us safe. Either way, when you buy the gift card, post a photo on social media with hashtag GiftCardChallenge. Learn more at giftcardchallenge.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden this morning again denying that he is guilty of any sexual assault despite allegations by a former aide. That is, White House advisor Kellyanne Conway is calling out feminists for seeming to be giving a pass to Biden on those sexual assault allegations.
Believe all women means all women, not just based on who they are, what their station in life is, whether they have a college degree, if they're Democrat, Republican, independent, or not registered to vote. It doesn't matter. When you said believe all women, I saw no footnotes, no asterisks.
Stocks are sharply lower in early trading on Wall Street. Shares of Amazon and Apple falling on very weak first quarter results. The market's coming off their biggest monthly surge in 3 decades, but the Dow Jones Industrial Average today has been down more than 400 points at times. And this is USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
NASCAR is ready to come back, but with some strict guidelines.
Also understand the tremendous responsibility that's going to come.
I'm Woody Kane. The story next on NASCAR Today, Midday.
Welcome back to Sports View. Today's topic, game changers. Makes me think of Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Finally, a simple, efficient way to quote home insurance. Let's go to Colin, who will now try to say something.
Okay, first of all, are you kidding? Never in my life. Okay, when you see stuff like this, look, I'm not the only one who thinks this, although everybody says I am.
Well said, Colin. Well said.
Get right to the point with Home Quote Explorer. It's a game changer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers.
NASCAR local, regional, and international racing. Grassroots racing. From the short tracks of America to the road courses of Europe and Mexico. I'm Kyle Rickey. Join Hannah Newhouse and me for NASCAR Coast to Coast, presented by Whelan and Hercules Tires. Each week on the Motor Racing Network, we'll talk with the race winners, newsmakers, and grassroots racing personalities. NASCAR Coast to Coast on the Motor Racing Network.
When NASCAR returns May 17th at Darlington, it'll be the first of 7 races over 11 days across 3 national series for a sport that will have been idle for 2 months. NASCAR Executive Vice President Steve O'Donnell says no fans, no practice, temperature and symptom checks among competitors, and social distancing are among the new reality elements to allow racing to return.
We understood, and I've seen this many times from the media, that it's going to be a fluid situation, and we're going to need to factor in many, many variables. And I think most important for us at the onset was the development of a plan that was discussed with public health officials, medical experts, state and local officials.
We've got details now at MRN.com. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today Midday on the Motor Racing Network.
Let us know what's on your mind. Email NevadaTalkNet@gmail.com or call 775-293-1875.
Nevada, it is live and local now. Good to have you with us. Kevin Wall with you. Hard to believe it, but on June 9th, we've got a primary election coming up. I know it sounds weird, but it's going to be happening. And what is more significant maybe than anything is it's going to be held only by mail. Tell you what, let's check in with Wayne Thorley. He's the Deputy Secretary of State under Barb Zagafsky for elections, and he joins us from Carson City. Wayne, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Kevin. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, so explain how this whole election thing is going to work. There will not be polling places. There won't be early voting. There won't be any of that stuff, will there?
There will be limited in-person polling opportunities, but everybody, every active registered voter will be sent a mail ballot. Those ballots are being dropped in the mail in the next few days. So voters, all active registered voters across the state can expect to receive a mail ballot in the next week or so that they can mark and return in a postage prepaid ballot return envelope, and they never have to step foot in a polling location. However, each county will have at least one in-person polling location for both early voting and election day, but that will be extremely limited. We are obviously encouraging everyone to vote by mail.
Why did you leave that one option open, the option of being able to bring your ballot somewhere? Why not just go totally mail?
There's state law requires us to have at least one in-person voting opportunity, even though we're having an all-mail election. It's for individuals who need a replacement ballot. They may have lost or spoiled their ballot and need to come in and get a replacement ballot, or individuals who need to update their voter registration or aren't currently registered to vote. So we needed to have an in-person polling location to comply with some mandates from the last legislative session regarding same-day registration. But again, it'll be limited, and hope everybody will cast their mail ballot.
Now, have you purged recently the voter rolls? How do you know you're not sending ballots to an address that where somebody's not even living there anymore? How do you prevent voter fraud and all of that other stuff?
Yes, mail ballots are first of all not sent via forwardable mail. So if a ballot is undeliverable at the address that we have on file for the voter, it is returned to the county election official, not left in the mailbox for the new resident or not forwarded to the voter wherever they've moved. We also engage in routine and regular list maintenance activity at the county level. So counties regularly are getting information from state vital statistics, Social Security Administration regarding individuals who have deceased, and removing them from the rolls. We're also in a partnership with 30 other states to share DMV and voter registration information so that if somebody, when people move, they usually get a new driver's license in their new state, but they don't always cancel their voter registration in their old state. So this helps us make sure that we can remove voters from our rolls who have indeed moved out of state. And we do that regularly, and last did that about 2 months ago. Before we entered, there's a 90-day federal blackout period where we can't make any doing list maintenance. So we did it right up to the last minute and are very confident that the rolls we have now are accurate.
Again, Wayne Thorley joining us, Deputy Secretary of State for Elections. Tell me how this mail-in will work. I get up to the last day. I get up to June 9th, and I say, oops, I forgot to mail my ballot. How do I make sure it gets postmarked and everything? Like, do I have to go to the post office to be able to do that?
You've got two options. Yes, you got to make sure your ballot is postmarked by June 9th. And putting it in your mailbox and lifting up the flag, if it's that last day, may not be good enough. Just to be extra secure, you might want to go to the post office, make sure it gets the postmark date of June 9th. The other option is there will be a polling location in every county open on June 9th on Election Day, and the voter can actually go to that polling location and drop off their ballot.
And where do they find that information of where the polling place is?
All this information will be available on the Secretary of State's website. They can also go to their county election official's website and get that information.
Now comes the tricky part. You get to the night of June 9th, and you've got all these candidates wondering, are they going forward to the general election? But you've still got people that their ballots are somewhere in the U.S. Postal Service system. How do you report? We aren't going to know by 8 p.m. on June 9th who won or who lost, are we?
we won't. And that's an important voter education piece that we're trying to get out, is that we will report partial election results on election night. We will report what we have up to through that time. However, we will continue to receive ballots by in the mail that were postmarked by Election Day up to 7 days after the election. And so we will continue to constantly update results. But the results that are available on election night will be incomplete, will be partial. And the candidate who's ahead on election night might not necessarily be the candidate who ends up in the lead. And if there's a close race, the candidates and voters will just have to be patient until we get final election results.
Tell me about bundling. Explain what bundling is, harvesting and all these terms that we've heard about, how some people will bring in, 20 ballots. They're not from their family, but just from people that they've harvested ballots from. Can you talk a little bit about that? And is there a fear that that might interfere with all of this?
Nevada has a law that prohibits anybody except the voter or a designated family member from returning their mail ballot. So what's commonly referred to as ballot harvesting is not permitted in the state. A voter who wants to return their ballot has a couple of options. They can return it by mail, they can return it in person themselves, or they can give it to a designated family member for that family member to turn it in person for them. But what they cannot do is give it to someone representing an advocacy group or a candidate or a political party that's going around gathering ballots. That is not allowed.
What is your guesstimate? Is this going to, because the mail-in ballot seems like the easiest way to do this. Do you sense there will be a huge turnout virtually relative to this primary election, simply because it's so easy to do? The stamp's already on there. You just stick it in the mail, fill it out, stick it in the mail. Will we have a huge voter turnout?
I think we'll see an increase in turnout, but I wouldn't say it would be huge turnout. Primary elections in Nevada have historically had very low turnout, anywhere between the 18 and 20% range for turnout. Other states that have gone all vote by mail have seen an increase in their turnout, so I expect an increase in turnout for this primary election. But not an increase so significant that it would get us close to what our general election turnout numbers are.
You are kind of stuck in the middle because you work for the Secretary of State. You're in charge of elections. I'm curious, though, has there been blowback from either party liking it, not liking it, this idea of maybe ultimately going to all mail-in balloting?
Yeah, the Secretary of State has a couple lawsuits have been filed against the Secretary of State from both sides. I won't get into the details of the lawsuits, but it kind of tells you that there are individuals on both sides of the political spectrum that have concerns with the all vote by mail election.
Again, joining us, Wayne Thorley. Wayne Thorley works for the Secretary of State, Barb Zagafsky. He is the Deputy Secretary of State for Elections. What are the things you worry most about relative to a new concept like mail-in elections? Is there something that you lose sleep over saying, gosh, I hope this doesn't happen or that doesn't happen?
Yeah. Couple things. We want as many voters as possible to vote by mail. The in-person voting opportunities are going to be extremely limited, and that's to limit the spread of COVID-19. So if a lot of voters decide not to vote their mail ballot and vote in person, it could lead to long lines. So if voters want to avoid long lines, avoid being in crowded places, they should vote their mail ballot. The other difficulty is this is a huge transition. Normally, only about 10% of all ballots cast are mail ballots, and now nearly 100% are going to be mail ballots. And so the tabulation and ballot processing procedures are all having to change. We're going to have to go more to a central scanning and tabulation process rather than precinct and polling location voting process. So it's a huge shift. We luckily got some federal money from Congress to help us implement these changes. We're positive things are going to go smoothly, but it's a lot of work to make a change on such short notice.
Now, there are going to be paper ballots, but this will not be a manual count, will it? When you said scanning these ballots, can we assume this will not be a manual count?
That's correct. It will not be a manual count. Humans are not very good at counting things. Machines are much better at counting things than humans. All ballots are always computer counted. We do audits after the election, hand audits to verify that the computer count was good. But yes, we do. Everything is scanned on a machine. If for some reason we can't read a ballot because it has been damaged, or the voter's intent is not clear to the machine, then it will be kicked out for a human review board. But everything goes through a machine scanner first.
And are the parties involved at all worried about hanging chads and things like that? Do you worry that we could end up having ballots challenged?
No hanging chads. We don't have any punch card ballots. Those have gone the way of the dinosaur mostly. Certainly, the ballot counting process is open to the public. Anybody can come observe the process and see exactly how we do it. This transparency is important so that the public knows what we're doing. We don't do anything in secret. Everything we do is open for public scrutiny. And if somebody does that, they'll see that the processes we have in place are very secure and very well done so that people can have confidence in the election results.
Okay, Wayne, in our final minute, let's summarize. Where can people find the information? I had access to a March 24th press release, but for the general public, how will people be able to find out information on this mail-in ballot?
So the Secretary of State's website, nvsos.gov, has information, and we are going live in the next day or two with a dedicated website for the primary election. That will be mailitinnevada.com, and that will be every registered voter's source of all information related to the primary election.
Wayne, best of luck. I know this is kind of uncharted waters for you guys, where you go from 10% of the vote being mail-in to maybe 90, 95%. This should be interesting. Thank you so much. If there's any information you need to get out, you make sure you reach out to us, okay?
Will do, Kevin. Thank you.
Thank you. And that's Wayne Thorley, the Deputy Secretary of State for Elections. We've got a mail-in election coming up in the state of Nevada, June the 9th. They must be postmarked no later than June 9th. Stick around. More to do. We're going to let you hear from the governor. He had to walk back a whole bunch of stuff last night. We'll tell you at least one example of that coming up as we continue live and local now.
Where Nevada comes to talk, making radio great again. The official radio stations of the Vegas Golden Knights.
I'm Byron Bergeron, and I'm a lawyer. Now, I know that people don't like lawyers, but think of it like this. I'm here to level the playing field so you get a fair shake. Let me give you an example. You get into a wreck. Your insurance company wants you to think it represents you, and its priority is your best interest. You know, good hands. The truth is, its priority is its checkbook and its shareholders. If it's to their advantage, they will throw you under the bus so fast, you'll think the mayhem guy in the TV commercial is driving. I have only one client, you, and I can keep these companies in line because I have only one shareholder to answer to, me. I answer my own phone. I return my own phone calls, and other than my wife and two babies, the most important people in the world are my clients. 775-229-3736. 775-229-3736. When you need the field leveled so you can get a fair shake, call me.
a message from our friends at Grease Monkey. You know, they are suffering just like we are through this COVID-19 pandemic shutdown of all non-essential businesses. And they are still open, but they recognize that a lot of you aren't making your travel to Wendover like you would be with so many businesses closed up there. But they're ready to serve you when you can. And if by chance you're on the way up to Salt Lake City or other places and you have problems, please take stop by and see Grease Monkey. They'll take care of your car. They're at Beaumark Station, 801 Florence Way, 775-664-4229, 775-664-4229. And when you go by or stop by, tell them that we sent you by, would you please? KELY and the Nevada Talk Network. That's Grease Monkey in Wendover, 775-664-4229, and be safe.
Thanks for listening to Nevada Talk Network, where Nevada comes to talk. Our programming originates from the beautiful Georgetown Ranch in Ely, Nevada, over KELY AM 1230. For over 70 years, the news source for White Pine County. In Sparks, Reno, and Carson City, you're listening to KNNR 1400 AM. In Battle Mountain, you're listening to KNNT 98.5 FM. In Hawthorne, Nevada, you're hearing us on KAVB 98.7 FM. In Fallon, you're listening to KNVR 102.5 FM. In the Amargosa Valley, you're hearing us over KPKK 101.1 FM. And in Pahrump, you're listening to us on KPVM Television, channel 25.6. Thanks for listening to the Nevada Talk Network, where Nevada comes to talk.
Are payday loans ruining your life? Do you want control over your money again? If you have two or more payday loan cash advances, listen closely. You may be eligible for a program payday loan companies don't want you to know about. A program that may help get aggressive and unfair payday loan companies out of your bank account and get you back on track to financial freedom. Payday loan companies may trap you into paying outrageously high interest rates, and they take way too much of your hard-earned money every week. We understand their tactics and know how to keep them off your back. We'll fight hard to help you regain control of your money. If you have two or more payday loan cash advances, call right now for a free consultation.
800-380-4429. 800-380-4429. 800-380-4429. That's 800-380-4429.
Let us know what's on your mind. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/NevadaTalkNet, or visit our website, nvtalk.com.
I really want to care. I want to feel something. Let me dig a little deeper.
No, sorry. Nothing.
So good to have you with us.
You can say you've got issues. You can say you're a victim. It's all your parents' fault. I mean, after all, you didn't pick them. Maybe somebody else has got time to listen. My give a damn's busted.
I love Joe DiMessina. I love Joe DiMessina. Sorry about that. I just love this gal. My give a damn's busted. You know, in these troubled times, we all need to prepare for the unexpected. That's why I recently called my friends at Castle Insurance Group to do a full review of my insurance. In an emergency, I wanted to be fully covered, but I also wanted to make sure that I was getting the most bang for the buck. I spent all of about 10 minutes on the phone with my Castle Insurance Group agent, and the next morning, she had me quotes for auto and renter's insurance all ready to go. She not only improved my coverage, but she also saved me hundreds of dollars in the process. And in these uncertain times, who couldn't use a little more money in their pocket? At Castle Insurance Group, they'll find you the best policy from name brand insurers like Progressive, Nationwide, Safeco, Travelers, Hartford, ASI, all the ones you see on TV. Would you like to save money on your home, auto, and life insurance, all from the comfort of your own sofa, while actually improving coverage? Well, then call my friends at Castle Insurance Group, 702-714-1060. Ask for a free quote. That's 702-714-1060. All it will cost you is 10 minutes and a phone call. That's 702-714-1060. They're waiting to take your call right now. Okay, Governor Sisolak and his news conference. I know a lot of you couldn't sit through the whole thing, but I did. And to me, in some cases, in walking back some of this stuff that the governor has said previously, like it's the legislature's fault that Dieter has melted down, he reversed that. That was kind of nice to see. But he did this repeatedly in the statement yesterday, confusing constituents, I think, on the phases that are going to be forthcoming. This is cut 7, the governor, from last night.
I've kind of changed the phases, and I might have gotten ahead of myself in saying there's 4 phases. There might be 3 phases, there might be more phases, depending on how the different counties and businesses adapt and how much we move forward at a time. What I'm saying is that in the beginning of phase 1, which I hope will come May 15th or sooner, depending on the continuing trajectory of our data that we're tracking, our analysis, and the cooperation and work that we're getting from our counties, and they've already gone to work, and I thank them tremendously for that, we'll have to determine where gaming would fit in there. Now, I know that I've had regular discussions with the gaming industry and with our labor leaders in the gaming industry. Chair Sandra Douglas Morgan is in constant contact with them. They're providing plans for their up opening on individual bases. These are confidential plans that aren't shared with each other, and she will develop a plan that will work for gaming, and I'm going to leave it up to her and the statistics to determine how quickly that can be.
Okay, he also introduced this new thing. Yeah, it was just bizarre. It's called LEAP, L-E-A-P. And I found it absolutely confusing. It's the Local Empowerment Advisory Panel, or LEAP. And I'm just going to tell you, to me, this whole thing is more confusing now than it was before the governor's statement yesterday. It just I think it's going to be over a lot of our heads. Anyway, coming up in the program, very excited. We're going to get a chance to visit with Jim Small. He's a candidate for Assembly District 2. What did he think of what the governor said? Yeah, and more importantly, does he think people in Assembly District 2 are going to understand any of this? Stick around. More to do as we continue. It's Friday. It's the start of the weekend. It's the beginning of May. It's May Day. May Day. Right here, live and local, now.